we'll dive into the word. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all the people that are here. They are intentionally created by you for your glory and for everyone else's good, to include their own. Father, I pray that they know that and their soul knows that well. I pray that your spirit would continue to teach us scripture this morning, myself included. That you would pour out your grace and mercy and understanding and wisdom so that we might speak your goodness to the ends of the earth for the billions of people that don't know you yet. And that's what we would be known for, following you well by giving everything we can to make sure that more people hear about the truth of the gospel. And so I pray this morning that we understand what Scripture says, because without it, we're not speaking anything of any eternal value. And in the end, it's just going to be whoever believes in you. And so we pray for that. We pray for your glory and our understanding in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you got a Bible, flip open to Matthew chapter 8 with me this morning. And we're going to continue in our understanding who Christ is and understanding who God is through Scripture alone, starting off in the Gospel, starting off with the book of Matthew. We've just gone through the Sermon on the Mount. We've just heard the difference between knowing the written law and how it's supposed to be applied in a daily walk with Christ. That's really the summation of the Sermon on the Mount, is you've had the law, or we've had Scripture, and how is that supposed to look? How does that translate into daily life? All of those things, through faith, should help make us spiritually healthy, emotionally healthy, mentally healthy, and even at times physically healthy, all according to God's Word and according to the faith that He gives us through the power of the Holy Spirit that we as believers have indwelling inside of us to the glory of God, not to the glory of us. And so I want to kind of paint this picture. Again, he's got a massive crowd that he's been speaking to. The Sermon on the Mount is concluding. And it says, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." That's the end of Matthew chapter 7. So there's a crowd around. The people understand that what they've been listening to is different than what they had been listening to in the past from religious leaders, and that Jesus is teaching them as one that's got authority, not just as one who's reading through the words. Faith on display for the next few weeks as we talk about things that maybe we're thankful for in a season of Thanksgiving. Faith on display is understanding where authority lies. It's understanding our piece of the puzzle in relation to the Lord. It's understanding salvation and then walking that out in daily life over everything from sickness to death and religion, according to God's will, according to His timing and what He's given the church. We're going to paint a picture with what happens next that gets missed so often, and it is so beautiful. In Matthew chapter 8, as you watched a video this morning, there's an interaction. As Jesus is finishing teaching a multitude of people and starting to leave, a leper approaches him and simply says, "If you're willing, I know you can heal me." And we watched the account, and I love the thought of the leper and Jesus hugging it out on the ground. Oh man, I hope that is an apt depiction of my Jesus, because I'm looking forward to that. The actual relationship. What should have happened is they should have thrown rocks at that man. You're like, "What do you mean that's what should have happened?" Well, according to the law, that man is unclean, both physically and religiously. So to approach a religious leader should have meant death. Like, he was already pushed out of society because he has a disease. He was already pushed out of cultural, social norms, and then removed from the religious group because he's unclean. And then he goes and approaches an entire group of people, which was against the law to do, approaches a religious leader, which was against the law to do, and then the religious leader physically touches the man, which would have made him grossly unclean religiously. It's an interesting picture that's being played out. I want to read the section of scripture to you and go through what all this means for us, because the account that happened with this man happens with every single human being on the planet the second they choose to believe in faith in a resurrected Christ. Let me read this out to you. Matthew chapter 8, I just want to go through the first couple of verses 1 through 4. It says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. I don't know if you guys have spent any amount of time with this section of scripture, but oh man, there's a ton in there. In fact, I'm taking some of Chip's advice this morning. Where's Chip at? I don't know. He's here, but I'm taking some of Chip's advice this morning because I have been trying to tackle large expanses of scripture, and I've been bleeding over into everyone else's time for weeks now. I'm trying not to do that this morning, but there's so much in verses 1 through 4. Jesus comes down from the mountain. Great multitudes follow him. And then he makes an odd statement after the miracle happens. See that you tell no one. What? How could you possibly not? You've already displayed a working miracle and a cleansing to a great multitude. Thousands of people have just seen and understood exactly what happened from a physical healing sense to a religious sense. And your instructions to this one dude is tell nobody, just go. It seems a little odd because the cat's out of the bag, right? They already know. The point is the man was told to do something because of who he was supposed to go and see. He's supposed to go and offer the gift that Moses told them to do as a testimony to them. And so Jesus heals somebody in the sight of everyone, so there's no doubt he is God. He has control over life and death and sickness and health, but he wants that man not to focus on the miracle that was done to him and spread Jesus' fame. What he wants that man to do is go make a religious exclamation to the ones who are supposed to be religiously leading well. He sets them on a mission and says, listen, if you enjoy what has just happened to you, don't pass go, don't stop, go directly to the priest. Don't waste any time. Because the message that they need to hear, they've missed over and over and over again since he's been on earth. And we're going to get to that message in just a second. The next little piece of this that is great is it says, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Here's somebody who has apparently been paying attention. Even though everyone else in his life has been excluded from his life, and everyone else from a religious standpoint has been legally removed from his influence, and you know what he does? He doesn't just wallow in self-pity because of the place he's been put in life. Instead, he seeks out the truth, redemption, and cleaning for himself. It takes away all the excuse for humanity to say, well, this church treated me bad, this Christian treated me bad, this group I don't agree with, or this group I don't like, and so I'm just going to quit. And I'm no longer interested in the relationship with Jesus. What a cop-out. When you stand before Christ, that's not going to do. What is going to do is what did you do with me Did you care to learn it for yourself? Did you care to read it for yourself? If you had everything wrong with your physical body, you weren't allowed to have personal relationships, and you weren't allowed to have any religious relationships, would you still seek me if men put you aside? If the answer is no, you're worshiping men. If the answer is yes, you're worshiping Christ. It doesn't matter what any of you do with me, ever. It's not going to change my relationship with Jesus. And so this man really wanted a relationship with God. Somebody says the Messiah is on earth teaching, and he actually goes and puts himself in a position to have direct contact with him, despite what everyone else said about the law, because he believed the man standing there was God on earth. And he starts off by worshiping him, calling him Lord. That alone should have got rocks thrown at his face from the religious group that does not believe this is God on earth. When Jesus says the words, I am, they wanted to kill him, but he slips away. It's the exact same thing, the same declaration that this man is making. He's worshiping him and saying, you're the Lord. And what does he say? I need? No, Jesus knows he needs. Does he say, I want? No, Jesus knows he wants. Does he say, I'm unclean? No, Jesus knows he's unclean. He starts the conversation out by saying, Lord, if you're willing, I know you can make me clean. He describes his need at the end of the declaration of who Jesus is and that God's will is first, foremost, paramount, and that's all he's asking for. If it wasn't God's will that he made him clean, he still knows who he is. He still knows his need. Whether we view that as being just or unjust, whether him getting leprosy is like, well, God could have stopped him from having leprosy from the beginning. No, I get all of that. I get the argument from the human side that why do we have to go through all of these things if God is good and perfect and without sin? It's like because of things like what happens next. First, there's the declaration, you are God. That's a right declaration. There's worship in that declaration, which is right and good to give. And then the saying, if you are willing, placing authority where authority belongs. If you're willing, you can make me clean. And so Jesus does what no religious leader should do. He puts out his hand, and he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. That single act in any other human being or religious leader would have defiled Jesus, both physically and religiously. Physically, he would have got leprosy. It's highly contagious. It's why they were supposed to walk on the other side of the road, away from everyone else, with their back turned, declaring, I'm unclean, unclean, unclean. So there's no mistake. You don't want what I have. It's going to kill me. You can physically see the signs of my death as it's eating away my outer shell. I'm unclean, and as a result, I can't go into the temple because then it's going to make all of you unclean. And Jesus physically touches that man. It should have made him unclean, but he is God, so he's not unclean. He's still perfect. He's still without sin. And then he makes a statement. See that you tell no one. You've got a job to do. Don't waste your time doing things I have not told you to do. So you can celebrate. And I wonder what that was like. Wouldn't you want to celebrate? Wouldn't you want some high fives and a hug maybe for the first time in who knows how many years? Physical interaction. Wouldn't you want to go back to your family or your friends and say, see, we can hang out again. I'm a person. Maybe you'd go to the temple and you'd be crying or laughing or skipping and dancing the entire way, or maybe some weird, ugly mix of both, where halfway there you are dancing for joy and the other half you're absolutely crying your eyes out because of how cool of what just happened to you. And Jesus says, go to the temple. You need to go to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Why has the guy got leprosy? So that Jesus could walk the earth in physical fashion and teach the priests something they've been missing for years. And to teach the priests something they're definitely missing now, as Jesus is on earth, as the Lamb of God, as John describes, ready to take away the sins of the world. The guy they should have been excited and waiting for, they've been praying for years, over a 400-year silence, and then all of a sudden they get the declaration, this is the one you've been wanting, waiting, seeking, and in need of. But because the vehicle didn't come in the fashion they wanted him to show up in, they didn't like the guy they got. What an awful tragedy that was. And yet for our absolute good. Kind of like having leprosy would be an awful tragedy to have to walk through in life. But definitely for their good and then for our good. If you don't know what the gift that Moses commanded was, I'm going to read it to you real quick. I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 14. I want to read just a couple of verses to you. If you don't go there, that's fine. I'm going to read them to you anyway. Leviticus chapter 14. Let me read this out. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp. And the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedarwood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he should be sprinkled it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in an open field. Go back with me, Matthew chapter 8. If you are willing, I know you can clean me. He says, I am willing, be cleansed. See that you tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that was commanded to Moses. Do this as a testimony to them. Well, what's the testimony? I'm so glad you asked. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture two birds. Wood that would have been used for a cross. Hyssop that would have been used to spread the blood of a lamb on the doorposts and the lentils as the Spirit takes the firstborn of every child in Egypt as a payment for sin and refusal to acknowledge God as Lord. The running water as Jesus stands up at the end of the feast and declares, anybody who chases after this is always going to thirst. Come to me, I am the living water. And if you do so, wells of running water will spring forth from inside of you as he pours his Spirit out at the day of Pentecost that we now have. And do this over an earthen vessel like a grave that you'd be buried in. And I want you to take the one bird that is declared clean and kill it, and its blood in the earthen vessel with the other objects that I've told you in the running water, and then take the second bird and I want you to put it in it so that it's covered with the innocent bird's blood. And that is going to declare payment. And then I want you to take that second bird to an open field and release it and set it free. Do you see the picture yet? Let's take you and Jesus. I don't know if you know this or not, but the reason leprosy exists is an open witness to what sin does to us. It's an outward example of the fact that it's appointed to all men to die once. It's a display of the cost of sin that didn't exist in the garden when creation first started, but definitely exists now as a sign to the fact that sin makes us religiously unclean. If it weren't for that connection, there'd be no reason for a leper to be religiously unclean in the temple. He would just be diseased and maybe set aside from the group so that it didn't spread to the rest of them. But the declaration was made that they are spiritually unclean, so that when Jesus hits the scene and he gets killed for me and put in that earthen vessel so that his blood drains out, and then I get to enact that through baptism and plunged into it, covered by his blood, and then set free in a field to go and wander and do and misbehave however I want because I'm given free will choice, it's supposed to be a reminder to me of the cost and the price that was paid so that I might understand what grace actually is. That an innocent was killed for the cost of leprosy, which is actually killing me now, even as I speak. Because sin has a cost. And Jesus pays this in full. And so he says, listen, I am willing, just like he says to you, I am willing. Be cleansed. He makes the payment because he's already made the payment. It gets applied to you because without the remission of, or without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There has to be a pure and perfect payment. And so Jesus does what we cannot do. We get to be the running water because of the Spirit put inside of us. We enact the burial and the death on the cross through baptism, and then we are set free to new life, so that we might not hold the grace of God in contempt and sin against him. And so Jesus says, I'm willing, be cleansed, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priests. Offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Because up until this point, they've missed it. Jesus has been teaching as one with authority. They've been rejecting his authority. He's gathering a crowd. It makes them nervous. The religious norm is in war and in struggle because men love darkness and not light. But here's light standing on earth. And he tells them, you need to go and do this so that they might understand who I am. Because clearly right now they don't understand who I am and they don't understand what I'm getting ready to do. And because of that, they're not going to have life the way they think they already own it. And so maybe that's a good warning for us as a church. If you're sitting here today and you believe that you're a Christian because you have some head knowledge maybe of what this book says, or it's been taught to you in the past, that may be a little start. But if you've never understood the gift that you've been given, if it's never made you want to both skip to the priests and maybe cry while you're doing it, then I don't know if we understand the gift that Jesus is telling this man to go and show and give that's described by Moses. There's designed to be something beautiful, something exciting, something joy-filled that happens with a believer. And here's the problem. The longer we stay in Christ, the more we forget the gift. You could tell me I'm wrong, but I've worked in a couple of churches now. I'm not that old. I won't say that some of you might have a grandchild my age. That's a joke. Come on. Come on. I know I'm young. But even in that, I've been to a couple of churches, and I've seen people forget the gift that was given to them. They know it's there. They understand who Jesus is. But somehow, over the course of the years, the absolute joy and celebration of no longer being a leper no longer excites them. Where they forget, our rightful place on this earth is to shout the words unclean over and over and over again with every human being we come in contact with so that they might not end up being like me. And you say, well, oh man, like maybe I want to join the Marine Corps. That sounds cool. Great. Don't do it like I did. And you would say, oh, well, maybe serving as a cop or something would be good for society. Yep, great. Don't do it like I did. And say, maybe starting in ministry would be good, right? Like, aren't we supposed to want to do that? Yep, don't do that like I did. And say, well, I'm nice. Maybe somebody should want to be my friend. Maybe. Are you Jesus nice? Somebody say, well, I'm polite and I'm giving. Maybe somebody should want to be my friend or hang around me. That's cool. Are you Jesus nice and giving? Like, there's always a fine line between I don't self-loathe. I know my value in Christ, but I also know who I would be without. I should, without Jesus, every time somebody comes across, just shout the word leper at them. I'm unclean, unclean, unclean. Go away. You don't want to mirror any of my characteristics. With Jesus, I can shout, I've been made clean. I've been made clean. But you don't want to mirror any of my characteristics. Because I understand the gift. And I understand the giver. And I'm hoping that when we leave our time here this morning, you'll fully understand both the gift of grace that has been given to you and how incredibly cool that is. And who you are without it. And who you are when you forget it. Because I probably do that every day. I venture to say I spend the majority of my day forgetting who I was. And you can say, oh, well, don't live in the past. Don't drag that back up. Jesus has already forgotten it. You don't need to live there. You don't need to be there. I'm convinced if you weren't supposed to have any memory of your past poor decisions, Jesus would take that from you. I believe you're given them so that you don't forget who you were. As a testimony to Christ's goodness, so that you don't go back to that. There's a reason why you know what it felt like the last time you were sick. I'll give you an example. I used to think it was really funny when I ran a youth group to eat all sorts of weird stuff because it freaked them out. Didn't matter what they put on my plate. Didn't matter where it came from. We could be in a fellowship hall of a church and a youth boy could step on a hot dog and I would pick it right up and cram it. And everybody would be like, oh, that's disgusting. Like, yeah, I know, but it's weird and we have a weird relationship and you remember that I did that and now we've got something odd to talk about. Until it made me sick. And I stopped doing that. Until about last year, when I was walking with Aaron's family in the Mall of America, and we had those little pretzel bites with a little tiny hot dog inside, and I bit one, and the hot dog popped out. And there it is. Decisions, decisions. It's laying on the floor. I want the hot dog. It's COVID season, and I'm in the Mall of America. So I ate it. I know. I'm still here. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't even think about the last time eating something weird made me sick until I put that in my mouth. And it's already in there. It's too late. So I did what any good man would do, and I swallowed that thing. Here's the point. There is one, I promise. If you understand the gift that was given to you, the leper, the unclean, the one whose sin is currently making your insides look like a leper's outsides. If you know the gift that was given to you, and you know who you were without it, then your chances of serving Christ well go through the roof. I'm convinced it's one of the reasons why you have put inside of you by Jesus, so that it drives conviction This is who I was. This is what it created. This is who I don't want to be because it's what Jesus brought me through. And if you remember that, the things you're capable of doing in Christ are limitless. And I'm not talking about putting Philippians 4:13 on a basketball jersey and somebody my size slam dunking on you. It's not I can do all things through Christ that are like dunking a basketball. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I can withstand me through Christ. You understand that's what that verse means? I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I'm not dunking a basketball through Christ Jesus, even though I guess if he wanted me to, he could make me do it. It's I have the same power and authority to be declared clean, even after being around sin and not engaging it in myself, if I would just rely on the gift that was given to me. And remember the cost of not relying on that gift before it was given to me. There's nothing clearer in Scripture than that bird being killed and the other one dunked in his blood and then set free to give you a good picture of what Christ's blood did on the cross. I hope that makes sense. If I've somehow butchered that for you in your mind through my weird hot dog analogy, come see me this week and let's have a conversation and a cup of coffee about what that means. No hot dogs. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the instructions. Go and show yourself to the priests as a testimony to them. Father, we are far closer to the priests than we are to Jesus. Help us to remember the testimonies you've given us so that we serve you well in thanks for the gift of grace of your Son, Jesus. We pray that in his name. Amen.